All right, this morning, and hopefully not many more mornings, but this morning we're going to continue learning for Refuah Shlema for Rafal Zaka Avram ben Yakir Avigail. So he needs a serious Refuah. Okay. All right. Also, Motzei Shabbos, we're having a Malav Amalka. We finished Erechin. We're going to have a Malav Amalka 8:45 here at the shul. So there's a sign-up sheet over here. It's going to come around if you want to pen your name, your family's name, whoever. Just a number. We need, most importantly, numbers. Okay. Today is a continuation of yesterday's daf. We are talking about Abaye and Rava and efficacy. We know that if you violate one of the Yisurim in the Torah, so aside from that being Aser, we're investigating whether or not it's effective what you did. So we've seen so far a lot. Yesterday's daf hey. Today's daf is daf vav and tamura. So yesterday's daf went through a series of examples of where there may be a machlokus between Abaye and Rava. See, Abaye is of the position that kol milsa dam rechman lo savidim avid mahane. If the Torah says not to do something and you do it, so you violate this in the Torah, but mahane, it's effective. And Abaye will say that consistently. When we say consistently, however, we have yet to find a practical difference between Abaye and Rava, but Abaye will say that consistently. Now, Abaye gives an interesting explanation for his position, and this is going back to the beginning of the whole sugya. I'm all the way back on Dalam and Bay's, just reviewing. Isak adach la mahani, am I lucky? Because if you think it doesn't help, so what are you getting malchus for? So in other words, malchus obviously is because you did something wrong. What'd you do wrong? There must have been effectiveness in your act. Good. Rava says, la mahani, right? Ineffective, meaning that even though the Torah says not to do it, and even though you tried to do it, but you didn't actually do it. You didn't do anything. So why are you getting malchus? So the Gemara asked that question. Rav asked that question. And the answer is, Mishum da'avar ha-meimra d'rachmana. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told you not to do that, so you get malchus for attempted, right? Attempted whatever, right? We talked yesterday about attempted divorce or attempted taking off inferior truma.
In both cases, I mean, both from Rav's
We're all going to agree you're going to get malchus. The malchus is not up for discussion. It's that what's the malchus for? Right. Abaye will tell you that the malchus is for violating innocent in the Torah, meaning you did something. You were successful in what you did. And Rava says no. Rava says no. The malchus is just for an attempt.
Well.
No, the malchus is going to be, the malchus point position will be the same. The bigger difference, which the Gemara is still exploring, is what's going to be the difference. How about the effectiveness of their act? Meaning, they did something. Is their act going to have any effectiveness? What did we talk about yesterday? We're not going to go through it in great detail, but we talked about a man who married his anusa and a woman he violated. Where the Torah says he has to marry her, and lo yucho shalcha kol yamav, he can't divorce her. And what if he does divorce her? We talked about that case over there. Torin Aral Latov, we talked about giving off truma from the inferior onto the superior produce, which the Torah says you're not allowed to do, and he did that. Torin Minal She'eno Mino, taking truma from grapes onto olives, or olives onto grapes, that we talked about that. Charamim, another topic of discussion we discussed yesterday, where Amachrim something to the Kohanim, and the Torah says you can't sell it and you can't redeem it, and what if I do? Temura, which is probably why the whole discussion comes up right now in the Masechta of Temura, where the Torah says you cannot exchange one carbon for another. There it does work. Pidgin abachor, redeeming a firstborn animal. Torah says you can't redeem it. And it doesn't work. Pidgin meiser, redeeming the meiser behema. What does the Torah say over there? It doesn't work. Hagdamas truma lebikurim, taking your tithing out of order. Doing truma before bikurim. It does work. Okay, and last thing we did yesterday is a Kohen marrying an Almana. It works. Okay, so far, of all the examples that we talked about yesterday, obviously the result is different. And what we found yesterday, and you're going to get a little bit more of that today, is that Abaye and Rav are not going to disagree in any of those cases, even though we know what the result is going to be. Why? So we saw yesterday because for each case, either Rav or Abaye, whoever it's a question for, will simply say that case is a Yotzei Min HaKlal. It's an exception to the rule. Why? And the Gemara brings in Pesukim to explain why that's a Yotzei Min HaKlal. So far, of all the cases that we've discussed yesterday, and we go to today, we don't have a real difference. We don't have a practical difference between Abaye and Rav. We continue in the Gemara. We are in the bottom of Hamad Beis and Tanan. We are going to quote a Mishnah. Okay, Vahare, sorry. Six lines from the bottom of the Amud, second word in the line, Vahare Hiktish, Baal Mumam Lemizbeach. Okay, thank you. Baal Mum, blemished animal. So you're makish it for the Mizbeach. Derachman Amar, Kol Asher Baal Mum Lo Sakrivu. Any animal that has a blemish, you're not allowed to offer. Okay, so it's, you're not allowed to do it, but Tanana Makish Baal Mum Legame Mizbeach, Alpha Pishalo Belo Sasa, Masha Asa Asui. The Mishnah tells us that what's done is done. It's a Mishnah, it's a Braisa, that's how it looks like it's a Braisa. Okay, what's done is done. So, it's a blemished animal, you're not allowed to be matzah for the Mizbeach, and if you do so, it will be imbued with Kedusha. Okay, what's done is done. So, to you, if there's a Rava, so that obviously is difficult for Rava, because Rava says, Lo Mahani, shouldn't be effective. If the Torah says, don't do it, so then if you try to do it, shouldn't be effective. So, Amlecha Rava, Shani Asam, Damakro, Lenedo Lo Yeratzeh. Ritzu Hu Delo Miratzeh, Hamikdash Kache. So, again, it's the same thing like we saw yesterday, so Rava will tell you in his defense, Pasuk. We have a special Pasuk that tells us it's different. The Pasuk says, Ule neder lo yiratzeh, that if I try to establish a neder, meaning neder here, over here, meaning carbon, lo yiratzeh, it won't be accepted because it has a blemish. But Rava says, you read the Pasuk carefully. It says, lo yiratzeh, won't be accepted. But what does that mean? Meaning it will be invested with Kedusha, just lo yiratzeh. Ule abaye, now, we throw the question back to Abaye because according to Abaye, I don't need a special Pasuk. Meaning, Abaye simply says, if I try to do something, it works. So according to Abaye, why do I need a special Pasuk? So the Gemara says, I would have thought as a Havamina. Look, you violated the Yisr in the Torah, and it's Kasher. Now if you take a look at Rashi, the last Rashi on this Amud, Rashi says something a little bit amazing. Rashi says, Afil Ahakriv. Meaning in the Havamina, now it is a Havamina, we're going to reject it, but still, you know, Havamina is there to test the limits, to push the limits. In the Havamina, Rashi says that we're considering now maybe being makriv of this as a karban. Even as a Havamina, that's a strange Havamina, meaning it's a Baal Mum, it's a blemished animal, right? You know, one of the first things we learned in Zvachim is that a blemished animal you're not allowed to offer on the Mizbeach, so it is a strange Havamina. Maybe the Gemara doesn't mean it like that, but Rashi is very clear. Rashi says that is the Havamin of the Gemara, and Kamash Malan, and the Chiddush is no, that you cannot offer it on the Mizbech. Hare Maktish Tamimim Labedek Habayis. Let's continue. Now, another thing you can't do is the following. You have an animal that's not blemished, right? It is perfect. Perfect in, it's right, suitable, eligible for a carbon. And what do? You invest it with Kedusha for the Bedek HaBayis. Right? You know when you get the report card or when your kids get the report card said not reaching its potential, which really you could write for every single kid. But not reaching potential. So that's basically the issue over here. Meaning, this could have been a carbon for the Mizbeach. And meanwhile, you're Makdishit for Bedek HaBayis. Now, not only are you not making it reach its potential, but you also violated Nisr in the Torah. So the Torah says, Amar Rachmana, the Gemara now on the top of Vav Amud Aleph, Nidava Tasa Oso. You make it a Nidava, meaning this is a follow-up to all the animals that have a blemish. So what does the Torah say? Nidava Tasa Oso. You make it into a gift to the Bedek HaBayis. So Zekach Bedek HaBayis, Vitzanana Maktish Mimlam Bedek HaBayis, Alpha Pishu below Sase, Masha Aso Asui. And meanwhile, we have again, sounds now like a Mishnah. We have again that if you're Makdish, a non blemished animal, perfect animal for a Bedek HaBayis, look, it's a low Sase, it's a negative prohibition. Now, we're gonna struggle a little bit with that statement of the Gemara, it's a negative prohibition, but it's wrong. Let's just simply say it like that. You're not allowed to do that. But Masha Asui is Asui, but what's done is done. So Tiyufta de Rava, so that's a difficulty on Rava, because Rava says it shouldn't be ineffective. If the Torah says not to do it, it just doesn't have a, it does, Torah doesn't simply mean don't do it, it's like we discussed yesterday. The Torah is saying you can't do it, meaning it just simply won't work. So Amlecha Rava, Mimakam Shinez Rabba, Bali Mam, Legame Mizbech, Nez Rabba, Tmimim, Lebedek Habai. So Rava says, look, the drasha of not designating a perfect animal for Bedek HaBayis is coming from the same pasuk that we discussed just a moment ago about taking a blemished animal and sanctifying it for the Mizbeach. So in other words, you're right. Normally I would say it doesn't work. It can't work. But both points are made from the same pasuk. So just like if I take a blemished animal and a makdish it from the Mizbeach, what's done is done, Masha Asu Asui. Same thing with the reverse. If I take a perfect animal and makdish it for Bedek HaBayis, shouldn't do it, but Masha Asu Asui. Again, it comes out to the same formula as we discussed now for yesterday and now all of today. Special Gzeres HaKasav. They're going to be more. Although the Gemara does seem to be comprehensive in its discussion. The Gemara yesterday we dabbled a little bit with the Bidyavin Lechatchila, but generally speaking, no. It's not a. It's in other words, you violated Nisr in the Torah. It's more than Bidyavin. Hare Gezel Derachmana Amar Lo Sigzal. Now stealing, okay? Torah says don't steal. Okay, one of the first things we learn in life, even before much else. Lo sigzal v'tanana goes alitzim v'asan kelim tzemer v'asa begadim misham kshas gzela. Now, here's a basic rule when it comes to gzela, and that is shinui. That if I make a change, an irrevocable change to any item which I stole, so I acquire that item. Now, when I say I acquire that item, please understand, I'm sure everyone does, I still have to pay back for the item. I still have an obligation. I took value away from somebody, so I have to replace value. But in terms of the item itself, I get to keep. Shinui kona. Now, it's yufta de Rava. Now, this is difficult for Rava. Now, it's interesting because the argument could have been made like one step better. Could have been, but it's just not the halacha. Meaning, if you were Abaye, right? The Torah says don't do it, and you do it. So, according to Abaye, what's the result? Right? What's done is done. So, the Gemara... I mean, I'm going to say couldn't do this. But if you think it through, the Gemara could have said, well, if you steal, that's it. Meaning, you get to keep it. Because even though the Torah says, don't do it, but what's done is done. The Gemara couldn't have gone that far, that extreme, because the pasuk says, v'heshev is like zela. Meaning, we know that when you steal an item, you have to return the item. But to a certain degree, what I said is partially true. Meaning... Right, because if you change it, you get to keep it. What does that mean? If you change, you get to keep it. By what right do you get to keep it? Meaning it's not yours. Right, so if I don't change the item, I got to return the item which I stole. But if I change it, it must mean that embedded in the theft is some form of acquisition. Meaning there must have been a kinyan embedded in the theft. Because... How do I see that? Where do I see the encryption? I see it because when I make a change in the item, now I get to keep the item. So even in the act of stealing itself, there's some effectiveness to the stealing. So the Gemara says this is, again, good for Abaye, bad for Rava. Because Abaye will tell you, absolutely. In every act that the Torah says don't do, there's some effective nature to the act. Amalcha Rava, Shani Hasam, Damakra, Asher Gazal, Kamasha Gazal. So again, in defense of Rava, the Gemara says, well, Pasuk and Chumash tells you that only if the item is as is, so only then do you have to return the item as you stole it. But you make a shino, you make a change in the item, so the Torah goes out of its way, Asher Gazal. That's not what I stole, therefore I don't have to return that. Ula Abaye Asher Gazal mi Baile, Al Gzelo Shalom Mosif Chumash, Al Gzelo Shal Aviv, Eino Mosif Chumash. Okay? Goes back to... your own item, which you stole, you have to add a chumash, and as opposed to something which you inherited even from your father, even though you're standing in your father's place, but you don't have to add a chumash.
They never tell you how, because this could go on forever, they never tell you what Rava learns that.
Right, in each one of these discussions, right, the conversation could continue, right? Well, how does Rava learn that halacha?
Maybe they expect us to fill in the
blank. I mean, yeah, it could be. Vahare mashkon. Okay, next example. Okay, taking collateral. Now, you're entitled, meaning you have an outstanding loan, and the person owes you money, and he's not paying, and so you could take a collateral. Now, we talked about this at the end of Erechin, right? Bedek HaBayis, they have unbelievable collateral collecting ability, right? They knock on your door, they don't really wait for an answer, they come right in, they help themselves, right? Memashkinin, that's what we talked about at the end of Erechin. Here we're talking about just between two friends. You know, maybe not now the best of friends, but Right. Right, two people. So here, the halacha is a little more restrictive, meaning you have to knock on the door, you have to wait till he answers, you can't go into his house, he must bring the collateral outside to you if it's something that he needs, so therefore you have to return it to him when he needs it. So in other words, it's a more restrictive form of ability to take a collateral. Now, Rachman Amar lo sevol beso lavod avato. The pasuk says you can't walk into his house and you can't take collateral. You have to stand outside and wait for him to give it to you. But tanan, machzir sakar balayla vesa machareisha bayom. If you take something, now this is a mishnah in Bamitzia. Now Rashi Tosfos over here have a discussion. We're going to abbreviate the whole discussion, but there is a discussion. How do we know this mishnah is talking about where you went in illicitly? Rashi maintains it is. Tosfos says, I don't know where he got that from. Anyway, but just again, for the sake of brevity right now, you go into somebody's house illicitly, you take the collateral, right? You're entitled to the collateral, but you weren't entitled to go into the house. The Torah says outright, you're not allowed to. And meanwhile, it's collateral. And the Mishnah says, Machzir Zekar Balayla, you have to return the pillow to him at night. And the Machresha you have to give back to him during the day. It's funny, I thought the Machresha was a plow, that he needs to plow. Right. If I remember correctly, there's another... Whatever. Okay. Anyway, so to Yufta de Rava, so I guess that's difficult for Rava, because Rava says, Masha Asu En Asui, meaning Lomahani, shouldn't work, meaning it shouldn't even be a collateral. Meaning, if he goes into your house, whatever he takes, by definition, should just go right back to you. So, I'm lecha Rav, shani asam damakra, hashev tashiv. So, Rav says again, gzeres hakasuv, special pasuk over here, you must surely return it to him. Why the double language? Meaning, the collateral that you took legally, and even the collateral that you took illegally. Meaning, you trespassed, you went into his house, and you took the collateral from his house. Ula Abaye, now the Gemara continues. What about Abaye? Why the special pasuk? I know already that collateral that I take, even illicitly, still collateral. You might have thought, again, havamina, that when I go into the house and I take collateral, and even though I took it illicitly, but remember, we're talking about abaye. Mahani, it works. How much does it work, even to the point now where I don't even have to follow the regular rules of mashkon, meaning I just get to keep it. Until I get the loan back, I just get to keep it. Again, that's a havamina according to Abaye. Kamash Malan, the Chiddush is no. What the Torah does is it basically says that even when you go in illicitly, it still will follow the regular rules of Mashkon, and you have to return it to him when he needs it. Okay, next. Hare Peya, Derachmana Amar, Lo Sechala Patzedecha, Bekutzrecha. You know they have to take off a corner of your field and apportion it to Aniyim. Okay, so Torah doesn't give a shear. El Dvarim Sheim Lam Shear. First mission in Peah. So the but meanwhile, you have to take a corner off for the ani. What if you don't? Utanan, mitzvos peah lahafresh min hakama. So the first thing to do is min hakama, meaning while the stalks are growing out in the field, that's where the mitzvah begins, and that's where you need to do the mitzvah, and you need to section off a corner of your field. Lo ifresh min hakama, yafresh min ha'amarim. So, what if you harvest? What if you cut the grains? Still, there's a mitzvah peah. So in other words, what you should now do is, failure to have done it at the correct time, now as the grains are cut and out in the field, you should section off a part of the field and leave that for the aniyim. What if you collected all the stalks and now you winnowed, you did all the things that were now you basically have grain, but you didn't take off peah yet, so yafrish minakri, ad shelo mirchu. Mirchu ma'asro v'nosein lo. So what if you're miruach? What if you smooth off the top of the pile, which now means that the entire pile of grain is tevel, which now means that you have to take off trumos and maestros. So first you take off trumos and maestros, and then you give the payout to the ani. Now, there's one other position, which is Mishum Rabbi Yishmael Amru. And the name of Rabbi Yishmael, Af Mafresh Min Ha'isa, even from the dough. Meaning, let's say you failed to take off payah all the way to the point where you've now made a bread, right, dough. Now, by the time you made dough, you already have a fresh challah. And you also, if you haven't done so yet, you have to take off trumas and maestros. But what Rabbi Shmuel is teaching us, which is a bit of a chiddush, is that I even need to take off Peya. You could have made the argument at this point in time, right? Shinui. You have lost the opportunity, meaning you had the Peya mitzvah opportunity, but you've affected such a change in the kernels. And the mitzvah was really on the kernels. The mitzvah was really even by the stalks. But you've affected such a change in the item, you shouldn't be obligated anymore in the mitzvah of Peya. And to Yufta de Abaye. And this is difficult on Abaye. Rashi says over here that the Tiyufta de Abaye is really going on Rabbi Shmuel's position. Because the Tanakhama, not much being said by the Tanakhama. Meaning, even if you cut it from the ground, but it's still wheat, you still have to give it to the Yani. So you haven't done anything that dramatic. According to Rabbi Shmuel, you've made a significant change in the grain. And meanwhile, you're still chayv and peah. So you violated the prohibition of not giving peah to the ani, and meanwhile, you still have to give. So tiyufta da abaye, that's difficult. Amalach abaye, shani hasim da amakra, ta'azov yisera. So it says that the mitzvah of peah is repeated. It's in Parshas Kedoshim, it's again in Parshas Emor. So ta'azov yisera is an additional ta'azov that comes to tell me that I have to for sure leave it for the anim. Again, gzera sakasav. V'rava amalacha yesh aziv acher shekazu. Now, back to Rava. Rava, why do you have that extra pasuk? You don't need that extra pasuk. You already know Rava lo mahani. So why do I have an extra pasuk? So Rava says because the Torah is trying to tell us that there's another aziva encrypted. Ve'zizeh ha'mafkid karmo. So the Gemara says, what's the example? The example is the following. D'tanya, mafkir kamo. You have a vineyard. And you say, whatever's on that vineyard is hefker. Now, as a general rule, once produce becomes ownerless, it's no longer chayav in shumas ha'maisras. Right? So, right, how do we know this? I mean, how do we know this? What's an example of the Shemitah? Right, during the Shemitah year, where all the produce now is ownerless, so there's no obligation of shumas ha'maisras. Okay, so when produce becomes ownerless, now it's no longer obligated. I mean, for the simple reason that it no longer has an owner. Now, obviously, that's not the whole reason, because somebody will assume ownership of it, but even when that person assumes ownership of it, it's not chayv and shumas ha'maisros. Good. So this person realizes that, and he says, and again, I told you, as Jews, we're all hardwired to be accountants. Okay, it's embedded inside of us. So the person says, oh, I just thought of a great loophole. So what I'll do is I will be mafkir my entire vineyard. I'll make a declaration tonight that all my vineyard will become hefker, will become ownerless. And tomorrow morning, 4 a.m., 3 a.m., I'll wake up nice and early, and I'll harvest this ownerless vineyard. Right. And what did he save by doing that? About 22%. Right, truma, maestros, and bikurim also. Yeah, why not? So ve'ezuzeh mafkir kamo, detanya mafkir kamo v'hishkim l'shachru bitzro, chay beperet v'olos b'shicha u'v'peo patar min ha'maiser. So vis-a-vis meiser, he it worked. Okay, morally, ethically, I guess that's a different story. But in terms of the halacha, it works. Vis-a-vis all the things that he should have left off for the aniyim, the olos shicha peo, all that he's still on the hook for. Why? That Rava says, that's what we learn out from the Ta'azov Yisera. The extra Ta'azov is coming to teach me that he would be still obligated in all those types of matanos for the aniyim. Amle Ravach Ebrei Derava LeRavashi V'Hashta DeShanin Kolhani Shinuye. Okay, I lost count. I don't know how many we went through. 14? Okay. So however many we went through, over a dozen. Still, what comes out is, right now, no practical difference between Abaye and Rava. Every single time we have an example, now, they varied, meaning sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't work, but whatever the example was, Abaye or Rava, depending on who it's difficult for, will simply say, that's a special gzeres hakasav. Okay, and so what comes out now is a conceptually beautiful machlokas, but practically there seems to be absolutely no difference between Abaye and Rava as we go through a case-by-case basis of the Torah. And so the Gemara basically wants to know.
Could there be more than 14?
Yeah, for sure there could be more than 14.
More. I mean, every single negative commandment.
Well, not everyone. I told you. In other words, even when we started the discussion, certain things you know we're just not going to entertain. Meaning, the Torah says don't eat not kosher food, and you eat it. It was effective, meaning certain things you can't, you just simply not, it's not applicable to have this discussion, right? Okay, I don't know if it's a, doesn't, I don't know if it's a comprehensive list, but I would agree with you. I tend to agree with you. Right. So, and essentially what the Gemara now wants to know is, so why are we having this debate if there's no practical difference? Meaning the conceptual is great, the abstract is wonderful, but if it doesn't translate into practical differences, so what's the point of debating? And we're not interested in debating for the sake of debating, meaning we want to see tangible results. Yeah, exactly what the Gemara wants. So Hamafkir Kamav Yishkim. I'm sorry, I read that. Amalei Rav Acha, read the Rav or Rav Ashi. V'hashta d'shanin kolhani shinuyei. So Dabai Rava, but my pligi. So what's the machlokas between Abai and Rava? So the Gemara formulates, and the Gemara says, "Beribis kitsutsa kamifligi." So the Gemara says, "Well, maybe what we're debating about is ribis kitsutsa. You know, you're not allowed to charge interest, right? You lend to another Jew, so you're not allowed to charge interest." They're basically, we're going to divide into two different categories. Number one is what's called ribis kitsutsa. Ribis kitsutsa means that at the origination of the loan, we, you and I agree to the terms of not only the principal, but interest as well. What we would call a loan. Okay. In other words, we set out from the very beginning, we agree. Meaning interest, by the way, is interesting because we talked about this before. Even though it's understandable, meaning it's interest is not, you know, sometimes some of the rates are absurd, but it makes sense, meaning someone's giving you the benefit of money right now, and that's a value. Money is a value. So,
value of money.
Right. You could speak about this much better than I can. So money has a value, so interest makes sense. But meanwhile, the Torah says that when you lend to another Jew, don't charge the interest. So number one, ribis kitsutsa is where it's arranged at the origination. And what the Gemara now wants to say is, now the Torah says don't do it. And you did it. So is it effective or is it not effective? The Gemara now is suggesting that's the machlokus between Abai and Rava. Look, another machlokus on Morayim. First we have the position Rav Elazar. Rav Elazar says that if I charge interest, yotze b'dayanim, meaning the borrower will take the lender to court, and the borrower will say, it's not right, he charged interest. Now, I know I agreed to it at the time, but, okay, let's, in other words, but it's interest, and the Torah says you're not allowed to do that. And yotze b'dayanim, and Rav Elazar says that the judges will say to the lender, he's right, give him back his interest. And avar gribis and yotze b'dayanim, but avar gribis, but what if it is not interest min haTorah, but what if it's only rabbinically forbidden interest? Now, right. So one example of rabbinic forbidden interest is where we agree to interest after the origination of the loan. Meaning, it's a simple example, I lend you $1,000. I don't ask for anything more than that. I just ask for $1,000 back. And then after a month, I say to you, okay, let me have the money. You say, I'm not ready. So now we say, okay, how about this? How about we add a penalty? Okay. Or you can call it a penalty. You can call it whatever you want. That's more than the principal of the loan. So that's one example. Rashi over here gives another example. Rashi doesn't give the example that I just gave. Rashi would say, discounting the price, the sale of any item, if the person's ready to pay right now as opposed to later. Right? Rashi says, look at the top Rashi on Vav Amud Beis. Habal Yedei Mecher Kagon. Hamocher Sadeo Va'amar Ima Achshav Atanosin Liharei Hilecha Be'elav Zuz. So I sell a person a field and I say, look, up front you pay me right now for it, it's $1,000. You pay me, wait till the harvest, so then you'll pay me $1,200. Okay? So now, that's not really interest because we're talking about the cost of land, right? The price of land. So interest really only is with money, but this is what the Gemara calls avak ribis, meaning dust of ribbis. It's saying, it's a second degree ribbis, if you will.
And it's not a loan, it's a sale.
And it's a sale. So, again, it's not ribbis min haTorah. Okay, but it's still.
Doesn't go back.
Okay, so avak ribbis and yotze b'dayanim shouldn't do it, rabbinically forbidden, but Eino yotza b'dayamar. Rav Yochanan amar afilu ribis ve'afilu ribis ketsutza. Eino yotza b'dayanim. Rav Yochanan says, no, not even ribis ketsutza, not even quote-unquote real ribis, right? It's not the best term, but even ribis d'araisa is not going to go back because masha'asa asui, what's done is done. And now it seems to be that basically what we're doing is we're coordinating the machlokas. The Bayan Rav is really now turning into the machlokas, Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yochanan. Interesting. After all said and done, meaning we're looking for a nafkamina between Abai and Rava, and it seems right now that we have a good one, but, you know, Rav Yochanan and Rav Elazar beat them to the punch, meaning they already debated, they already argued about this issue. So
right.
it's not like they broke new ground in terms of uncovering a machlokas. It sounds like, you know, Rav Yochanan and Rav Elazar, remember, they're first generation Amoraim, like, been there, done that. But the Gemara says, even in our attempt to align Abai and Rava to Rav Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar, not going to really work out. Amar lei hasam b'svara pligi, hasam b'kray pligi. What are you talking about? The machlok is Abai and Rava, that's svara. Meaning that argument is based on reason and rationale, like we discussed in the beginning of the whole sugya. Right? Why are you getting malchus? Are you getting malchus for actually doing the act? Or you're getting malchus for attempt of the act, meaning there's some svar, there's some thought process involved. Rav Elazar and Rav Yochanan, they're having a machlokas in psukim. How to read and translate psukim. And the Gemara explains. The Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, my taima, dear Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Kra, b'nechshech nasam v'star b'slakach, v'chai lo yichya, l'chai nitim v'lo li'shavon. The pasuk says that if you charge interest, so v'chai lo yichi, you're not going to live. Okay, the Torah treats the person who charges interest with a lot of seriousness. Meaning, Torah really frowns on charging interest to another Jew. And the Gemara over here says this is the svara behind the svara. This is the pasuk behind Rav Yochanan. When the Torah says v'chai lo yichi, meaning what's the price you're going to pay for charging interest? Your life. Right? And meaning returning the interest would sound like, okay, good, I just remedied that which I did wrong. The Torah then makes it sound like, no, that's not going to be enough. What will be enough will be your life. And Ravacha bar Ada Amar Mehacha, he learns it out from another pasuk. It's the same idea, just a question of what pasuk to learn it out from. V'yereisam lokecha ani Hashem, l'morana sativ v'lo lehishavon. Meaning, what if you charge interest? You're going to deal with Yiras Hashem, meaning you're going to be afraid of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But lo lehi shavon, but paying back, that's the least of your issues. Rav Amar Mehacha Toivos Ha'el Oseh Mos Yumas Damav Bo Yehiyeh. V'holid Ben Paritz Shofech Dam. Of course, a pasuk from Yecheskel. Interesting, it's a Navi, it's not Chumash, but just gilui, it's just a revelation of what we already knew. Hikshui malviris l'shofchei damim. Now, lending with interest is like killing somebody. Okay. Strong, I mentioned. The Gemara over here speaks in very strong terms. Ma'ashofchei damim lo nili shavon, af malviris l'hashavon. When you kill, you can't undo what you did. Meaning it's an act that is just irrevocable. So too is lending with interest. It's just, you can't undo. What do you mean you can't undo? Can't you just simply return the interest which you charged? No, that's not going to be enough. So we have an assortment of psukim, three psukim, right? Two from Chumash, one from Navi, an assortment of psukim. No, the first one was from Yecheskel. I take it back. I'm sorry. Two from Navi, one from Chumash, an assortment of psukim that will explain Rav Yochanan that when you lend with interest, just giving it back is not going to help you. Meaning it's too grave an error to just simply return that which you did. Now that we've cited Pesukim for Rav Yochanan, what about Rav Elazar? The pasuk says, let him live with you. What do you mean, let him live with you? Meaning if you charge interest and you took away some of his livelihood, so give him back his livelihood. And you could just return the interest and that'll be good. So, good. All right, get ready for the next line of Gemara. You're going to love it. So it comes out now that although the Gemara tried to fit the machlokas of Abai and Rava into the machlokas of Rav Yochanan and Rav Elazar, and it sounded really good, but the Gemara essentially rejects, and the Gemara says no, because They're arguing about Pesukim, and Abai and Rav are arguing about Svara. So Ella, right? Ve'ela b'makam eflegi. So second to last short line of the Amud. What's the machlokus between Abaye and Rava? Shinui konem. Okay, two words. Two words to sum up this entire machlokus between Abaye and Rava. So at the culmination of nearly two blot of Gemara, so now we have the difference between Abaye and Rava, and that is the word shinui konem. Now I ask, what does that mean? So Rashi over here struggles. Rashi over here offers two explanations of what shinui konem means. Rashi explanation number one. The Abaye Sava shinui shishina va'avra al das hamakom konem. Bar mehecha d'ksiva l'kra. Ulareva lo kani. So Rashi's first pshat is that the Gemara speaks euphemistically. Meaning we're going to borrow a term. Shinui kone, which is, we just discussed it, just, you know, 30 minutes ago in the daf. Shinui kone usually means that when I take an item and I steal an item and I make a change in the item, so I acquire the item. That's normally what shinui kone means. Rashi says, that's not what the Gemara means over here. It means over here, shinui, if I deviate from what the Torah tells me to do. So, kona, it works. Meaning, who's that? That's Abaye. Okay? Meaning, normally I will say that any deviation from the Torah, right, kol ma da avid, dama rachmana lo say avid, Torah says not to do it, the avid, and you do it, so what's Abaye's conclusion? Mahani. Or, as the Gemara says over here, kone. It works. Except for all the times where the Torah goes out of its way to say, it doesn't work. And what about Rava? For Rava will say, although the Gemara doesn't say it, but we'll say it, shinui lo kone. I just made that up. I hope you liked it. So if I deviate, it doesn't work or it doesn't help. Meaning, what's the Gemara saying right now? The Gemara is saying that it may be a conceptual machlokus between Abaye and Rava, but when it plays out, however, there's not going to be any practical difference between Abaye and Rava. Right? I read on in Rashi, Ela heicha d'ksiva kra, v'lo yisparash lan d'lahave mida b'nayhu, ela terutz d'dani t'yufta d'mar islay mida mishun d'mahani, v'lo mahani hu, umar islay mishun time d'kray. Okay, the only difference is how are you going to have to learn each individual mitzvah or issa that we've been discussing up until now. Meaning, basically, you're going to go through these 14 scenarios and you're just going to keep reminding yourself, how is Rava going to have to learn that pasuk? And how is Abaye going to have to learn that pasuk? But there is no practical difference between them. Okay? I know that's not a terribly satisfying way to end a two-day discussion, and really a basic two-day discussion, but according to Rashi's first pshat, that's it. That's the Gemara's punchline to the entire discussion. Then Rashi quotes, maybe, shinui kone is not a euphemism, it's not a borrowed term, but actually shinui kone goes back to what we discussed about 30 minutes ago, 33 right now. So the Matzino Lameimar b'Shinu Ikona, I'm reading on in Rashi. Kigon goes to Eitzim Vasim Kalim. Semer Vasim Gadim de la Abaye Kana ve'enu Meshalim. Ela Eitzim v'Semer ularava lo Kana u'Meshalim habagad ve'akelim hakelim. Could be that when the Gemara says Shinu Ikona, we're going back to what we discussed 33 minutes ago, which is I steal something, I effect a change in the item. Now it's kind of interesting because not 33 minutes ago, I was telling you, only by instruction of the Gemara, I was telling you there's no debate, meaning shinui is kona. And meanwhile, now Rashi's pshat number two in our Gemara right now, what's the difference between Abaye and Rava? The case of shinui kona, where according to Abaye, mahane, it works, meaning you've acquired the item, and according to Rava, no, you still need to return the item even in its changed state because lo mahane. Now, and Rashi notes, you go back to your Gemara Baba Kama, and towards the end of the Gemara over there, I think Meruba is the seventh parak. You'll check me up. So Uvagozo Kama, The ikalaman the amr shinu kona umapik time measure gazal kain shagazal the ikalaman the amr shinui lo kane. Meaning it's a machlokus in the Gemara Baba Kama whether shinu is kona shinu is not kona. V'yalab meveheshev zekzelim mikol makom imkay matam lamer shagazal lamer shinu most if chomish al gazal aviv. So machlokus in Baba Kama whether shinu is kona shinu is not kona could in fact now be the machlokus between Abai and Rava. Rava will subscribe to the position Shinui lo kona because lo mahani, and Abai will subscribe to the position Shinui kona because it's mahani. What comes out interesting now, according to our second pshat in Rashi, first of all, it's a little bit warmer because now we actually have a machlokus between Abai and Rava, a practical machlokus. But it's interesting because usually machlokus Abai and Rava. So who trumps who?
Rava.
Who trumps whom? So it's Rava. Rava will trump Abaye, except for the six exceptions of Yalkagam. Comes out now, the accepted halacha about Shinui is what? Kona. Shinui is Kona. That's the accepted halacha. So it comes out interesting because over here now, we're going to be following, according to Pshat number two of Rashi, we're following like Abaye. And it's not one of the Yalkagams. Okay? So I leave you with what to think about, meaning, so from Rashi's second Pshat, we're now subscribing to the rule, to the position of Abaye.
Yeah,
For sure, on the Shinui Kona, Shinui is Kona. I mean, that's our general assumption. Right, you'll see the third paragraph of Sukkah.
If there's an actual how could Rava say that it didn't happen? You know,
it did happen, but you still have an obligation to return. The Heshif is Exela. Mikol Makom, meaning whatever the state the Exela is in, you still have an obligation to return it. When you stole it, you did no good. That item is not yours. Even if you change it, the item is still not yours.
But once you do shino, you return it to value at the time you stole it.
Good, because you've been indoctrinated with shino ikona, which is right. Meaning that's the correct shot, the correct psak. But it's not for me to say who's correct. But that's the correct psak. But there's a position which is shino ikona. And what the Gemara now is suggesting, according to Rashi's second pshat, is that's Rava. You see Rava in that viewpoint of Shinui and Okona.
What did you say?
Six times in Shas where we follow like Abaye,
and this is one of them,
and not like Rava. And this is not one of them. This is not one
right,
of them.
But it should be.
Yeah, you want to ask me what the six are right now? I'm usually good for 4 out of 6. So, Stewart in the back is good for 6 out of 6. Okay, so. And, by the way, one thing I always remember about Yalkagam is that there's a machlokas we've shown him in terms of what or one of the six actually are.
Right.
Okay.
So, it's
not.
But is this different because it's a question of
Sfar? Huh? Okay, maybe. Let's do a little bit more. We got more daf we need to cover. Yeah, so I saw in the notes, right, that there's a lengthy discussion of who the Rambam follows, meaning Abaye versus Rava. So, okay,
so we don't know straight away, probably.
Right, it's interesting. The Gemara doesn't conclude, and even the Gemara's conclusion, meaning you go back to Rashi's first pshat in the Gemara, the conclusion is there is no conclusion, meaning correct. There's no practical difference between Abaye and Rava. Okay. Yeah, meaning, remember, with every one of these cases, with every one of these cases, there was an agreement only because each position will be, oh, that's a special case. In all 14 cases, we have agreement. Okay? Lishna achrina, behani shinui deshaninan, beribis kitsutsa, labai la mahadaribis, larava mahadaribis. So the Gemara says, what's the practical difference? So, first of all, I'm sorry. Behani shinui deshaninan, meaning all the answers that we gave above, similar to what Rashi said just a moment ago, or beribis kitsutsa, or now the Gemara is suggesting maybe the difference between Abai and Rava is interest, Torah forbidden interest, ribis kitsutsa, la bai la mahadaribis, la Rava mahadaribis, and the machlokus is whether or not interest is to be returned. According to Rava, it will be because la mahani. And according to Abaye, interest is not to be returned. The ha Abaye nami saver mafkin ribis kitsutsa b'dayanim. So the Gemara says, but wait a second. You know, you know that Abaye demands the return of interest. Da'amar Abaye, Hadein Damasik Bechavre Arba Zuze Biribisa. A person was demanding 4 zuz of interest from his friend for interest. V'yavi le lamalve bechanuse glima. And so what did he give? He gave a coat. Dishave chamsha chamisha. And it was worth 5 zuzim. Okay, so the guy really was not only charged interest, but so demanded his interest that the borrower, who apparently had no more money to pay, so he gave him the coat. His coat, which is worth 5 zuzin. And the interest itself was valued at 4 zuz. So, chamsha barba. Kimaf kinami nay. Now, the question is not, does the coat go back to the borrower? Because everyone agrees the coat goes back to the borrower. But the interest was worth 4 zuz, and the borrower gave a coat worth 5 zuz. The only question left is, what about that extra zuz? So, so the demand is that the lender has to give 4 back to the borrower. What about that 5th zuz? That was, the coat was valued at 5? That was a gift. Hard to imagine that really the borrower was gifting the lender. But that's one position. And Rava disagrees on that last zuz. Rava says, no, you got to give back the whole coat because the coat was given as payment of interest. Interest was 4, the coat was worth 5, but Rava says, you and I both know that the coat, that he didn't divide the coat into 4 and 1, meaning the whole coat was given in interest. So Rava says the whole coat therefore has to be returned.
What is the punishment that Rava
intended? No, meaning the returning of interest. Period. Meaning
that's a punishment, but that's just a reversal of the act. There's no real punishment there.
Okay.
You said that doesn't fine, but it's a punishment.
Okay. It doesn't work. It just simply doesn't work. Ella kimifuge by Rava b'shinu ikona, and therefore, what's the machlokes between Abai and Rava according to this version? Shinu ikona. What does that mean? Again, we'll go back to Rashi. Pshat 1, pshat 2. Pshat 1, according to Rashi, is shinu ikona is just a borrowed term, and basically go through the 14 cases, and you're just going to have to learn each case differently, and according to according to Rava, it doesn't work. And 2 is, again, the Shinu Ikona Baba Kama, Machlokis in the Gemara Baba Kama, which translates into the Machlokis Abaye and Rava. Okay, in other words, rewind the tape 10 minutes ago, and hear the two of them again. And that's it. That's the end of the entire sugya. Okay? So, interesting Machlokis between Abaye and Rava. Kol man da amar rachman lo sa'ave. Sorry, kol milsa da amar rachman lo sa'ave. When the Torah says not to do something, if you do it, is it effective or is it not effective? So Abaye says it is effective. Rava says it is not effective. And so now, just quickly review, sometime later today, all the cases of the Gemara. Do you want more cases, maybe? So I didn't read the Tosfos inside, but take a look at the Tosfos on the bottom of Vav Amud Aleph, V'hasha D'Shaninan. Tosfos makes suggestions about maybe other cases as well, where there may be a Machlok Chinabai and Rava. What was the Gemara's bottom line? Hard to know, right? The Gemara says Shinu Ikona. Rashi gives 2 pshatim. According to first pshat, there actually is no practical difference between the two. Okay, we're gonna pause over here. Tomorrow, pick it up. New sugya tomorrow. We move on into the world of Temura.